But those are actually commercially corporate-controlled spaces. And the history of corporate control of distribution is first you build an audience as a community, and then you monetize it as a market. And who knows what's going to happen to the ability to use content that is licensed in that way. So the argument, or in proprietary ways. So the argument is that we should maximize our use of a licensing scheme that lets Pacifica produce content and the Pacifica name spread as broadly as possible to the people who need to hear it, and to empower everyone to share in that distribution. That's the work we've been doing. And the intent of this motion is to go on record as a board instructing our staff to maximize the use of these licensing approaches. And I'd like to see us vote it up or down. I hope we vote it up. But after 4 years, I hope we take action tonight. So with that, Rob, are you back?
Yes, I'm back. Thank you. I'm sorry. Just had a little domestic interlude I had to attend to. Thank you very much. And so that I can avoid a conflict, if David can't introduce this motion.
I'll introduce it.
Oh, okay.
I just want you to read it.
John White had also agreed to do that. But I'd like to read a short background statement and then simply read the language of the resolution. And here is the background statement. It says, and everyone has received a copy of this, by the way, but throughout the discussion around digital distribution of Pacifica program content, one of the most pervasive problems is our own failure to define and articulate the best interests of the foundation in policy and practices that will relate to local station broadcast operations or the operating units of the foundation. For example, and this is, I think, the key thing, it is in the best interest of Pacifica that its programming be distributed and redistributed to reach the widest possible audiences. Likewise, it's in the foundation's best interest to create a production and broadcast environment that rewards producers for developing high-quality, mission-driven programming and for distributing that programming throughout the network and beyond. But few, if any, stations have programming agreements with our almost entirely unpaid staff, and there are very few operational policies that promote creative programming collaborations or reward producers for distributing their content to new audiences. One of the central consequences of all of this is that neither the network nor our local stations have concrete goals or plans to grow audiences or revenues, and that's really the financial cleft stick in which we find ourselves. So the following resolution sets a simple policy that will make it possible for Pacifica to offer its program content to the widest possible audiences and to create powerful production tools like PodSafe music libraries and through the use of Creative Commons licensing technologies to ensure that unpaid staff share in the benefits of digital distribution policies and platforms. So that is the motivation, that is the rationale, and now I will read the language of the resolution. Whereas it is in the best interest of the Pacifica Foundation to promote the widest possible distribution of programming via digital platforms, and whereas such distribution requires compliance by the users with the rights and usages stipulated by the Foundation if produced by Pacifica paid staff, or by the copyright owners of the program content if produced by Pacifica unpaid staff. Therefore, be it resolved that it shall be the policy of the Pacifica Foundation to maximize the use of Creative Commons licenses wherever possible as the licensing technology by which it distributes its programming to local, regional, national, and international audiences via digital platforms. Further, it shall be the policy of the Pacifica Foundation to promote compliance with copyright laws and regulations by prioritizing the development of PodSafe music libraries, thereby providing Pacifica producers and hosts with access to royalty-free musical content and providing artists with exposure to the combined listenership of the Pacifica Network and its affiliate stations. The executive director shall be responsible for providing the necessary licensing agreements that assure Pacifica's right to digitally distribute program content are in use by unpaid staff, hosts, producers, and collectives at all local stations. Toward this end, the executive director shall be responsible for increasing the volume and audience for digitally distributed Pacifica programming and for reporting regularly to the PNB on network progress and plans for achieving such objectives that fulfill the goal of distributing Pacifica program content to the widest possible audiences.
So may I move that?
I think I have a language problem there, Bob, don't I?
Yes, can I answer that, Dave?
Yeah, I made an amendment recently in view of the work that the Licensing and Distribution Task Force did, and I'm afraid that what I just read omitted some key language in the last paragraph. Yeah, can you help me out there, Bob?
Actually, I think you were reading an older version because the version you posted just before the board meeting has the latest language.
Do you have it before you, Bob?
Yeah, I can read it. It's just
the last paragraph, and it really is not a significant change,
right,
unless you've been involved in the licensing and distribution trenches with us.
Okay,
so bear with us, Bob. Could you go ahead, please?
Yes, it's one long sentence. The executive director shall be responsible for providing that necessary licensing agreements. I think it should be those, providing those necessary licensing agreements that assure Pacifica's right to digitally distribute program content are made available to unpaid staff, hosts, producers, and collectives at all local stations. Likewise, that their input is solicited for plans and programs that create incentives for wider distribution of Pacifica program content.
Yeah, there are two points there. Number one is in providing producer agreements to producers to get them to agree to allow their content to be distributed, those agreements are totally voluntary. In other words, if a producer does not want the content that he or she produces to be distributed by Pacifica, and the producer is solely responsible for it, that's their business. So we want to make sure that's not a confusion in the language of this. The other thing that we definitely want to do is to permit producers and hosts, particularly the volunteer ones, to make recommendations back to the stations and the ED about how we can go about getting broader distribution of our programming, which is what we should be about. So those are the other two changes, and that is what appears in the document that I sent to you, and I do apologize for the confusion there.
So, may I move that motion?
Yeah, please, go ahead.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion? No discussion. Any objection to the motion?
I just wanted to
go ahead.
Ask one thing, if I may. And I'm reading the amended motion that you said, because one of the questions I had was, and you just addressed it, Rob, about whether the producers or the staff would be forced, you know, whether it would be mandatory that they had to sign, you know, one of the licensing agreements, and you said
right.
It would be voluntary. Now, and again, I know you just read the motion, but I just want to know, does it specifically say in here that it would be voluntary?
No, it doesn't say that it would be voluntary, and it doesn't say that it would be mandatory, but Bob pointed out to me that the amended language that I put in the second version sounded like it the producers had to sign it. And these agreements, what we're doing in these agreements is basically acknowledging that unpaid staff that do their own work to produce their shows have the ownership rights, the copyrights to that programming. And so one of the things that we have to do as a network and, you know, as a foundation to distribute that is make sure that we have control of those rights. But it's voluntary. If the producers don't want to provide for Pacifica to redistribute that, or if they don't want to distribute it themselves, that's their choice because they put that together. For all the programming that's produced by Pacifica with paid staff, P- Pacific really owns it. It can do what it wants with it. So to some extent, this is a technicality. But no, it's always been voluntary. The intention has been that it would be voluntary. We were simply trying to make the language as clear as possible, as we did in the producer agreement. Is that not correct, Bob?
Yes. This was one of the topics that was discussed at great length. And for those who don't know, this task force worked for, I think, about 5 months, really, in great detail on crafting an agreement that would meet the needs of Pacifica and also be fair to the unpaid producers who put so many hours into this work. And I think a broad consensus was reached that the only way it could possibly work is if it is voluntary, and that many producers will have a strong incentive to participate in this because it's a win-win situation. Their work will get a larger audience and recognition, and the issues they care about will have more public awareness, and Pacifica will have a broader audience for its programming in general and a stronger reputation for doing quality programming. So I think this is really the only way that this can make sense.
Thank you.
Don White here.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah. I've been talking to Rob in the afternoon, but I actually appreciate the fact that Dave jumped in, because it's appropriate that he moved this motion. But I'm going to encourage my fellow board members to vote for this motion. I think it is in keeping with the goals that we have, having the broadest possible distribution of programming via digital platforms. And also, we have had over the last 2 or 3 years the highest level of expertise tell us that the Creative Commons licensing is the best route for us. And I'll just also add that this development of PodSafe music libraries is both an economic issue and also an opportunity for expansion of programming. It's economic because it will help us avoid some of the high costs of using music that we would have to pay licensing fees for. So I really want to commend all of you. I mean, Rob and Bob, anyone, everyone on the task force. I think this is the fruition of a lot of hard work, and I think it will raise the visibility and project Pacifica when at this time we're falling backward, because alternatives to FM radio and alternatives to the kind of thing we're doing really have the momentum, and this will return us to a different momentum. So I'm going to be voting yes and encourage others to do so.
Thank you, Dave.
Margaret for the sec.
Okay, could everybody make it short? Okay, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I just want to clarify one thing. If a producer does, right now we are not getting any explicit permissions from anybody. And so as long as we don't have those explicit permissions, we're in the situation that Brian DeShazer has pointed out to us many times, which is we have a lack of clarity about what we can and can't distribute. If a producer, a volunteer producer, denies us, says, no, I don't want you to distribute it, what it means is we don't distribute it. So it will always be against their interest not to allow Pacifica to distribute it, because we can, that just means that they're reducing their audience. But one of the key points here is to basically task the executive director with moving forward on getting a licensing policy in place that makes our distribution rights absolutely unambiguous. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Who was the one with the one person there? Margaret, go ahead.
And Ray.
Margaret?
Yeah, I'll be very, very short. I agree with everything that Don White said, and I'd like to congratulate all that have worked so hard for so long to bring this into fruition.
Thank you. Ray, that was nice, short and sweet. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, well, I don't like to recognize people for thanks, because you inevitably leave people out. So I want to thank the whole committee. But I think it is warranted to thank Rob for grabbing the bull by the horn and really showing leadership Because I was skeptical at the early stages, and speaking of the early stages, I particularly want to thank David for kind of, I feel like Moses taking us out of the desert and talking about this incessantly, and when there were many other priorities, and kind of understanding that this had to be done if we have to succeed in the future.
Thank you. If there's no objections, then motion passes. We'll move on to the next item. Dave.
Thank you, and thank you very much, everybody. I can't tell you how much I appreciate
Dave,
the board doing the talk on
Dave, will you be celebrating tonight? I hope.
Yeah.
My celebration will be finishing the meeting on time. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Everybody.
Please tell that Evelyn to end the call before it's over.
Welcome back, Evelyn. Okay, Lydia indicated the GM hiring process issue would have to wait till another meeting. So the next thing is Prescott motion on delineation of authority, et cetera. So, Margaret, can you please introduce your motion? Margaret?
Yeah, I have to turn my mute off. Thank you so much, and I hope that all members of the board have received the latest edited version of the motion, and I would really like to thank all those who sent on suggestions and criticisms and suggestions for the motion. They were all very helpful. They were all very informative. You saw the initial motion several meetings ago, and what I really worked to do, and all of you know, I think that this motion has been very much a collective effort, so I'd also like to thank AC and Sarb and Michael and others of you, you know who you are, that have contributed to this effort. And I think you all also know that it really is an effort to take a look at a lot of the issues that I think we all share across the board, recognizing that some changes need to happen in order to move this foundation forward in a good way to strengthen the foundation and for us to be able to obviously implement the mission in a far better and perhaps more effective way than we have done before. I'm sorry, there's a lot of noise going on. Can people hear me okay?
Yeah. Well.
Okay.
They're awake to hear you.
So I'm wondering if everybody has now read this latest version of the motion, which has changed only to reflect the comments and suggestions that several of you have made, and I must say it was across signal areas that I heard from people. Didn't hear from everybody, but those of you I heard from, it is very much appreciated. So has everybody seen it, or do we have to, or do I have to read it?
I think it would be very useful if you could at least briefly summarize. It's a long motion. If you briefly summarize its effect.
That's true, and it's also a public session for people who are listening and streaming of the motion. And I'll read the motion, and then I'll just say a couple of other things by way of motivating the motion. It reads, in a process of structural governance, management, and other improvements, with the aim of establishing a more effective, manageable, and workable organization, the board will undertake efforts to direct necessary and appropriate changes in both the short and long term for the purpose of the institution's solvency and effectiveness, and will facilitate our joint efforts to promote the strength of the Pacifica mission. The Pacifica Board will, 1, request the ED and Chair of the P&B to take responsibility to ensure that a compilation of existing Pacifica policies and procedures that impact the ongoing work of the foundation is distributed to all staff, LSB, and P&B members. 2, in addition to those identified in the Pacifica bylaws, the appropriate P&B committee should work with the ED as appropriate to clarify and or establish guidelines and terms for governance, management staff interaction, decision-making, policies, and procedures throughout the Pacifica network. These guidelines should reflect the principles of transparency and accountability in all aspects of governance, management, and operation, as well as judiciary responsibility and complete transparency of all finances throughout the network. Financial planning for the strengthening of Pacifica for future generations should be prioritized. The needs of and service to listeners and to the general public must be a guiding principle. Proposals should be presented to the PNB within 6 months of passage of this motion. 3. Establish a task force to review and update draft proposals from the PNB's governance and other relevant committees with the aim of establishing a code of conduct in consultation with Pacifica's HR consultant and Foundation Council and the ED that would include defining what conduct would be inappropriate for PNB and LSC members. A code of conduct should include inappropriate behavior, including putting the foundation, station, and or network at legal risk and the consequences of such behavior. Proposals should be presented to the PNB within 6 months of passage of this motion. 4. With a view to amending the Pacifica bylaws, establish a task force with representation from LSBs in all signal areas, legal counsel, the ED, representatives of national staff, and the PNB to review the Pacifica bylaws and make recommendations for bylaws amendments. Further, the task force should recommend whether implementation of the process already in place to revise the bylaws is sufficient or whether a bylaws convention is needed. Such a process should include reviewing and updating decisions and procedures already established by an earlier committee of the PNB for a process to amend the bylaws. The bylaws amendment process should be completed by December 2009. And that is it. I realize that it is comprehensive. I'd like everyone to keep in mind that you've seen probably a few versions of this one for over a good period of time now, requesting that you read it, think about it, that you send on your comments, your concerns, and your input that would help to facilitate us, you know, moving forward on this motion in a good way. Some are much more easier and straightforward on the face of it than others, but I would hope that we would all agree that the general direction as well as the specific recommendations in it are really focused to try to give some active some action on issues that many of us have raised across the board, and as we prepare for a handoff to a newly seated PNB, to really send the message that all of us are interested in change, and change in a good direction, not partisan change in any way, but simply to have the interest of the foundation and its solvency and the way we proceed and build in a very good way. So that's it, folks. So you have it in print, and you've had it for a while. I hope you've been able to mull it over. I realize that this particular version of it was really an attempt to insert the concerns that others of you have raised after the initial motion was sent out several weeks ago. Thanks for your time and for having the opportunity to put this forward. And all of you know, as I said earlier, it is a collective effort. So thanks to all of you that really came together and worked to draft this motion together.
Okay, thanks. I should have asked for a second before that Okay. Is there a debate on the motion?
Berg, I would like to speak.
Yes,
LaVarne. Go ahead, Mary.
I would like
and
to.
Then LaVarne. Actually, you know what? I'm going to take pro-con. I'll recognize Mary and then LaVarne, and then I'm going to go back and forth. Go ahead, Mary.
I Dave? Perhaps tell me if I realize this is in. I wanted to make a very small amendment where, it, in number four, establish a task force with representatives from LSB members and committees in all signal areas. And the reason I would propose this is that there are a great many people who have been working very heavily on the whole bylaws foundation vision since the beginning, and we should hear from these people. Many of them are still advised. They may not be on the LSB at this year, but they may have been before, and we should be here. And I think that was in the spirit of what...
Mary, this is Lauren. You need to speak a little louder. I can't hear you.
Oh, okay, here. Is this better?
Yes.
Okay, I can make it louder yet if it should. My very small amendment was simply to say in number four, establish a task force with representation from LSB members and committees in all signal areas. And that all it would do, and I did feel it's in the spirit of what Margaret has put forth, it would permit people who have heavily been involved in the creation and the structures of the bylaws from the beginning would create input. It would promote input from those people, and I think we could only be, it could only be to our benefit. So I would like
Dave,
to
point of order.
Insert that.
Yes, what,
well, I'm sorry.
What's the point of order?
Since you propose it as a pro and con, I'd like to move to divide because I support most of you, but there's one segment I don't approve. I don't want to reject the whole package.
Okay. That's I understand it's not exactly a point of order. Let me hear from LaVon first, and then I'll take the motion to divide. First, so what's your amendment, Mary?
My amendment was that in number four, to insert a small change in the first sentence, with a view to amending the bylaws, establish a task force with representation from, and here's my amendment, LSB members and committees.
Okay. Is there a second to the amendment?
Pardon me?
Is there a second to the amendment?
Second. I second.
Is there any objection to it?
No.
Hearing none, that's amended. Go ahead, LaVon.
I think this is a good amendment. I'm sorry. A great motion in terms of moving the foundation forward, but I'd like to add an amendment, and that would be to, which I kind of shopped or sent out earlier, is that we need to invite a professional firm to actually help to implement and review the actions that have been pointed out in the motion. So basically to invite a professional, because at this point, again, as I've pointed out, is that I think the foundation really needs professional help, but we've been at this for the last 4 years, and we've done a lot of amendments, a lot of motions, in order to try to make this system work, and there seems to be institutional amnesia in terms of what we've done and how to move forward. And I think that hiring an outside professional firm to help to move and implement these actions and emotions would be most would help to make this really work.
Lavon, is that substantively different than your motion, which is already on our agenda?
Well, I think that at this time, this motion that has been developed and a lot of people have worked on, I think that would just basically help the move. That would be a part. I would invite that as an amendment to this motion.
Okay. So specifically, the motion is that we hire a professional firm to assist in this process of bylaws evaluation and amendment.
Well, move the motion, help the motion work, because again,
Could you write the language down and email it?
Sure.
Also, write where LaVard is. I'm sorry. Laverne, could you indicate where you would like to place this language?
Okay, I'll have to go up and get on my computer. I'm sorry, I'm not on the computer.
Okay,
but
no problem. Is there a second?
Yeah, I second to the motion.
Okay, so the sentiment of it is that be included that we seek professional help, so to speak. Is there any objection to the amendment?
No, don't talk to you.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
I object.
Yes. Okay, Dave? Bob? Ray, I'm going to get to the division in a second.
Okay.
I want to deal with the amendment, and then we'll divide it, and then we'll do the rest of it. Bob, what's your objection to the amendment?
Well, on the substance, to me, we are far from the case. We are far from having made the case that we need to hire outside professionals in order to look at this situation. We could come to a conclusion at a certain point, but there's a lot more assessment we have to do of the people we have internally, and some of that has to happen in executive session because it would involve particular personnel. I'm very doubtful that that's going to be necessary at a time when we are extremely strapped for money, and we have no estimate as to how much this would cost us. So I guess my second point comes out of the first as far as process, that I think it would be a mistake to vote on this in public session before we've assessed some of the personnel we have or could call upon, perhaps, either on a pro bono basis or otherwise, and then figure out if all of that is inadequate, perhaps we need to consider this other option.
So are you moving to postpone the amendment till public,
right,
to executive session?
I second that.
Is that what you're doing, Bob?
May want to postpone it indefinitely.
I'll postpone it to executive session.
Oh.
Okay, postpone the amendment to executive session. Is there a...
information?
Hang on just a second. I'm trying to work this out in my mind. The question of whether or not we should hire a professional firm to assist, it doesn't seem to me to be an executive session item. The argument is that you might want to talk about a personnel matter, but I'm trying to figure out what makes that confidential.
Can I
clarify?
Yeah,
go ahead, clarify.
Yeah, I think it could well be the case that we'd want to get specific in executive session and say, person X, person Y, person Z, who are on our staff or who, might be willing to provide services or to be a consultant at a modest fee, are very well equipped, have a lot of knowledge in this field, have a track record, and so forth. And we can't get into the pros and cons of individual people's strengths and weaknesses in a public meeting. Let me clarify that. Then, if at the end of that discussion we decide we do want to hire a firm, then I think it should come back to a public session. But
well,
I think before we've assessed who we have on staff already or perhaps available to us in some other capacity, person by person, I think it's premature to vote on this.
Mr. Chair, a point of information?
Hang on just a sec. I'll take the point about but somewhat tentatively about the need to discuss individual people on that. Executive session is to be primarily about confidential things. So what I'd like to do, if it's all right, is just to permit any further discussion of the amendment that's appropriate to public session. Then we can go into executive session. We can approve it and report out of executive session if we see fit at that time. And, Mary.
Well, perhaps this is, you've just superannuated me, but my question was, as I read this, it already includes any representatives of national staff. So the circumstances that Bob mentioned would already cover. We don't need to enumerate. And it would only be, I understood the amendment to refer to professional hire of firms who deals with this, not staff or individual people, but companies or firms. And I would think that definitely should be, if that's the issue, it should be discussed certainly in public session. But have I understood the meaning of LaLaurie's amendment? I didn't understand that members of staff were already included.
The difference is that if you wanted to make an argument against the amendment based on the competence of some employee and somebody wants to say that employee is incompetent,
in response that that might not be appropriate for exec session. Dan, can you give me an idea? Any personnel issue is not necessarily confidential. I've always taken the position that if you're doing something and people are saying things about personnel that's sort of harmful to their professional reputation, that that creates liability. Is that true?
Well, I think
so
if you're saying
executive session,
I think if you're saying something about personnel that may be critical of them in the nature of a disciplinary matter or a performance evaluation, that should be an executive session. But also, it extends to personnel matters like an individual's illness or even their compensation.
Yeah, that's clear. But the other thing, which is if employee X is competent to, it would be preferable to the hiring of a professional firm to have employee X do this, and somebody else says, I don't think employee X has that expertise or that it would be appropriate to have them do it in place of somebody professional. Is that something that's problematic in any way?
I think it's borderline. If you're being very careful, you would want to do an executive session, but as a practical matter, it's probably not a problem.
Okay, in that case, Bob, even though I asked whether you're making a motion proposal, is it all right if we just continue this, and then if it gets to a point where somebody says, look, I have some things I'd like to say in executive session, then we could do it? Because let's err on the side of transparency here, shall we?
That's fine.
Okay, thanks. All right. Sorry. We're trying to get through the amendment so we can get to the main motion. Go ahead.
Okay, well, the amendment, oppose this amendment. And the reason that I want to oppose, is that okay to go ahead and say my piece here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. The reason I want to oppose this amendment is that it's like putting a cart before the horse. We do not know what areas are going to need expert help and whatnot. And the new board and the people that be working on these kind of various items, they can decide full well the next PNB members. Whenever they need appropriate help, they can ask for it, and they can hire the appropriate consultant if they need to, or they can look for expertise in-house in Pacifica, or they can ask for, from the community, some resources that might be available. And I think that time and time again, I see usually it's, one firm or another mentioned all the time as a consultant for the Pacifica National Board work, and I think that we should wait till we get to the point where the board needs expert help, and then they can decide at that time. So I think it's right now it's just tying consultant into this broad-ranging objectives. I think it's inappropriate, and I think it's not very wise. Thank you.
Can I capture that? I think, if we were to consider the amendment, then it has to be reviewed by the Finance Committee anyway because there's a financial impact. Levarne, would you accept changing the language of that to and we recommend the hiring of? Because then you get Sarv's point, which is we're not tying a future board and we can put it in now and move forward.
Oh, this is Levarne Maspy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The wording can be recommend because, again, when I talked about it, I guess, again, the point is that we've been at this for 4 years and we're still trying to, integrate all of the bylaws and also look at the bylaws themselves. And again, at the point where the foundation, I think we're at the point where the foundation needs professional help. And, as we all know, when a person recognizes they need professional help, that's when we can move forward. And I think this is the time, and I absolutely can word that to say to recommend.
Is there any objection? I'm sorry. Were you finished?
Sure, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Is there any objection to allowing the language to be changed to recommend? That obviates the need for a Finance Committee review before we put it in, and it deals with SARS concern about mandating something to our successor board. Hearing no objection, we'll just add that then.
Point of information, do I have the language?
I'm sending it now, Mary.
She's sending it. Okay, therefore, we'll wait to adopt that amendment until we get the language. Now, back to Ray's point.
Ray's wanted to make a motion to divide. Ray, would you like to consider each section of the motion serially?
Yeah, I think that's the best way to move forward.
Okay, there's a motion to divide. Is there a second? Not hearing a second on the motion to divide. Okay, so then there's the motion to divide fails for lack of a second. Okay, Ray, I'll recognize you. You wanted to speak to the motion?
Yes. I think this is a great job, and I congratulate Margaret and everybody who contributed, but Margaret for being stubborn and keeping this afloat. I have a serious problem with... number four, I think, is lacking participation from the public. For example, I remember when the bylaws were being considered, one of the tools that was used was through to have it was then a PNB committee working with the LSBs that held regular meeting involving committee. You know, anybody wanted to join. I think the formal there were maybe two LSBs and one PNB, or maybe it was LAB. Then I don't quite remember. But the point is that there was an opportunity for everybody to contribute. And everybody got educated to the process so that it didn't become the purview of the PNB, so that by the time we send it out to be approved, it already has whatever restrictions and bias and limitations that we would put on it. Also, and that's my biggest problem, it says here it questions, and I'm assuming there, Margaret, that this is because of trying to obtain a consensus. It questions, it says that if it's demonstrated that the bylaws convention is needed, I think that this is both amended of the bylaws, so we'd have to amend the bylaws first to say that we don't have to do that. Second, as a procedure, I'm not against using different devices, different level of discussion to facilitate this very complex process. But to me, this is the ultimate level of change where the public is part of making decisions about the most important, or one of the most important aspects of the foundation, which is its own regulations, its own rules of governance. Therefore, I question this repositioning the Bylaws Convention as a big question mark the way it is now. And I would see language change.
Margaret, can I answer?
Give me just a second. Ray, Ed, since we failed on the motion to divide, if you do have an issue after I let Margaret answer, I'll come back to you if you want to make an amendment on whatever point you have an issue with. Go ahead, Margaret.
Yes, with in terms of the involvement of the general public, I mean, I think this is something that, Ray, I hear you, and that we all share, and that is the reason that in the right at the start of point four, the second line, representation from LSBs, and then Mary made an addition to that to include other members of the public by saying members and committees and all signal areas, and that is to ensure that input from the LSBs, and I think Mary's amendment is a good one, to move it even beyond the LSBs and to include subscribers who are active on LSB committees. And so I think that addresses the issue of the general public, and also that the wording was careful to say that the process should include reviewing and updating decisions and procedures already established by an earlier committee of the PNB for a process to amend the bylaws. And that means to really look at the work. I'm not quite sure, Ray, if you were involved in some of that work, but I think some of other people in New York and other members might have been involved in that, and that goes into, you know, further detail as well. On the point of whether or not a bylaws convention is needed, a member of the board raised a piece of information I did not know, actually, which is that there's already a process in place to revise the bylaws. So it really is to say that to look at these recommendations and to really decide, do we need a convention to implement the recommendations that would come from such a broad-based task force that would include the LSBs, or can it be done in another way that perhaps is less costly. Personally, I am all for, you know, I'm not opposed to a bylaws convention, but to really try to move this motion and to really allow, you know, the kind of broad-based input and concerns across many different points of view, the, you know, what I really worked hard to do was to try to reflect those concerns in a way that hopefully all of us could see that effort, and it's something that we could live with, and it's something that moves the process forward. Ray, I don't know if that answers your questions.
Okay, we're coming up on time, and we haven't really done much. I don't know if we've done enough with this, so if we need an extension, I'll call for it in a couple minutes. Ray, did you have any amendment you wanted to make to
Actually, I would just answer Margaret first. Yes, I did participate in the discussion in New York, and yes, you did that. I mean, one thing that made me feel better about it is that we're talking about task force recommendation. I think that the bylaws are an expectation to have a popular participation in this process and empower people to do so. I don't think I've had a situation in New York about even have a modified convention where they could take place locally and reduce the tremendous cost of the bylaws convention and have a process to reconcile the ideas together later. I'll stop now, but I just want to express concern at I seem to be a willingness to remove the bylaws as a necessary process of growth for us.
Mary Bird,
this is Bob.
Do this,
Zach.
Okay, Bob, and then Mary. Well, okay, I'm going to go pro and con, like I said. So, who would like to speak opposed to the motion?
I'm speaking in favor of Margaret's motion, opposed to dividing.
Well, we did. The division failed already, so that's moot.
Okay,
go ahead, Bob. Are you speaking opposed or in favor?
Well, I have an amendment to the part we've been discussing, and then also
okay,
an amendment to another part.
Go ahead then.
Okay. As far as paragraph 4 about the bylaws changes, I think that what would help. I think this is a good approach, and I think it's necessary, and we can move ahead with this, but I think we should broaden the options that are before this task force rather than simply whether the current amendment system is sufficient or a bylaws convention is needed. So I would propose that the language read, further, the task force should recommend whether implementation of the process already in place to revise the bylaws is sufficient or whether A, and I would insert the word national in front of bylaws convention, whether a national bylaws convention, comma, local bylaws conventions, or other mechanisms aren't, and then back to the text here, needed. I can send that out to people.
Okay, is there a second to the amendment?
Second.
Okay. Oh, there is or is not?
I second.
Okay, seconded. Now we're just about at time, so is there any opposition to the amendment? And if I hear opposition, I'll let that speak, and then I'll ask for extension of time if we need anything further before we vote on all of this.
Yes.
Is there opposition to the amendment?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Chandra.
I think it would muddy the waters to consider a bylaws convention at this time. I would like the task force to work on this matter, and if they come to the point where they feel that a bylaws convention is necessary, then they could propose that. But I don't want that language to be locked in to the motion at this time.
Okay, that's really not an objection to the amendment, is it? It's an objection to the sentiment of the main motion. But okay, Okay, does anybody want to make an extension of time to consider this further? Or are we ready to vote? And we'll be voting this amendment, the Williams amendment, and then the main motion.
Before I could do that, may I ask a point of information? Because I may be wrong in my interpretation of Margaret's original thing, that she refers to the bylaws, the citation of a bylaws convention, but she is specifically... whether or not there is, and I don't see how this promotes or discourages having such a convention, whether or not that goes forward or whether the future boards decide to do that, this procedure, if people will be working on this and we are looking for people who have the most interest, just people, I thought, for example, it would be...
Mary, working.
Am I correct,
Mary,
about that?
Is
that correct? does market motion affect any a concept of the bylaws convention one way or the other? I think it did not. Is that right?
Hang on. I'll have to get the text back. Margaret,
Yes, I'm here. The wording was carefully done to precisely leave the option open for a bylaws convention as necessary. And it also leaves the option open, in fact, for what Bob is proposing about a national convention, local conventions, or other mechanisms, because if I understand it correctly, that the process that had been put in, or at least begun by the earlier task force or committee working on this, that says the process should include reviewing and updating decisions and procedures, that some of those procedures are already in there. And what we're asking the task force to do is to simply review them and update them. So we were really trying to be as inclusive as possible and reflect all of the concerns that have now been raised by both Bob and Chandra. And what my concern is I would hate to see the entire motion with so much work behind it not to be addressed, because I do think that both of those concerns, in fact, are reflected in the way the motion is stated as is.
Thank you.
Does that answers your question? Okay. Do we need an extension of time, or can we go to vote?
Dave, this is Bob.
Yes, Bob?
The reason I would ask a short extension is because I have another amendment on a different section that I'd like to introduce.
How much time are you recommending? Are you requesting?
10 minutes.
The motion to extend by 10 minutes. Is there a second?
I second.
Is there an objection to an extension of time? Hearing no objection, we'll have 10 more minutes. Go ahead with your... there's two amendments before us now. There's that amendment and the Lavon's amendment. So we need to clear them. Lavon, did you send your amendment to Mary already?
Yes, I did.
Mary, do you have that?
Let me just look and
you
see if
Mary?
I got it. Let me try again. I hadn't, but I might.
Okay, well, while you do that, we're going to deal with Bob's First Amendment. Is there any objection to Bob's First Amendment?
Which amendment? Could you repeat what the amendment was?
Bob?
First Amendment?
Yes. I'll just read the sentence as it would be amended. Okay, so it's a coherent sentence. Further, the task force should recommend whether implementation of the process already in place to revise the bylaws is sufficient, or whether a national bylaws convention, local bylaws conventions, and or other mechanisms are needed.
Okay, that's the amendment. Is there any objection to that amendment?
Object.
You do object, Chandra?
Yes.
Okay, is there any objection other than Chandra?
Yes.
Okay, will you call the roll, please, on the amendment, Mary?
Okay, this is Bob Litterer's amendment.
I'm sorry, can you just say what the amendment is one more time?
Bob, will you repeat it?
It adds the words national in front of bylaws conventions, local bylaws conventions, and or other mechanisms. It's to look at more than one option, two specific options, and then anything else would be looked at, not just bylaws convention, yes or no, which is the current language.
Okay. Would you call the roll, please, on the amendment, Mary?
Mary Berg votes yes. Lydia Brazan. I'm sorry. Evelyn Bassoon. I'm sorry. Lydia Brazan.
Can't hear you, Mary.
Okay. Here, I'll start again. I voted yes. Evelyn Bassoon. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Evelyn, thank you. Okay. Lydia Brazan. Okay, pound one. Okay. A.C. Bird. #1. I can come back to you. Lisa Davis?
Yes.
Chandra Halpin?
No.
Ray LaForest?
Yes.
Ambrose Lane?
No.
Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Margaret Prescott?
Pass.
Sure. Sarv Randhawa? #1. Sarv Randhawa? Okay. Sandra Rawline?
No.
Berthold Reimers, are you on the call? Rob Robinson?
Pass.
Okay. Rip Robbins?
No.
Thomas Ruffin? Okay. Wendy Schrell?
No, I mean, I don't get it. No, I'm going to say no.
Okay, you're voting no. Okay.
Yeah, no, sorry.
Lori Taguma? Don White?
Yes.
LeVarne Williams?
Pass.
Okay. Michael Woodson? Are you on?
Yes.
You vote for yes. Thank you. Let's see. Evelyn Bethune, you pass.
Mary, will you read the motion for me again, please? I'm sorry.
Okay. Actually, I didn't get it from Bob, but it was... I'll read it.
Further, the task force should recommend whether implementation of the process already in place to revise the bylaws is sufficient, or whether a national bylaws convention, local bylaws convention, and or other mechanisms are needed.
I'll vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. A.C. Byrd? #1. Lydia Brazan? Okay. Margaret Prescott, you passed.
You know, I think I better abstain as the maker of the most. I'm invested
okay.
here.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. Rob Robinson, you passed.
I'm going to vote no, Mary. Thank you.
I'm going to vote no. Thank you. LaVarne Williams.
I'll vote no.
No. Is there anybody who would like to vote whose name was not called or couldn't get on?
Mary, the Sarv?
Sarv, thank you. Huh?
I'm going to abstain on this.
You're going to abstain. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. Now, AC, is there anybody else? AC or Lydia? Or anybody else? Seven no, seven yes.
No, eight yes.
Pardon?
Eight yes.
Yes.
Mary, did you announce the results?
Well, we're waiting for Dave. He has not responded.
Oh.
It was a tie. Seven yes, seven no.
Oh, I see.
It was eight. It was eight.
No.
What? I haven't heard Dave.
I dropped off the line. My phone gave up the ghost.
Mary,
can you hear me now?
Yes. You vote.
Okay.
You vote?
Do I have to vote?
Mary,
yes,
I can put mine
yes,
over
seven,
there
no.
to yes vote, and then Dave doesn't have to vote.
Oh, wait. You changed your vote to yes. No,
yes.
I didn't hear you, Sarv.
Okay.
All right. That's 8-6. Then.
Okay. So that's Bob's amendment. That passes. Now we're going to deal with LaVarne's amendment. Can you read it, the final text, Mary or LaVarne?
I just got hurt, Now, is this what she sent to me, right? It hasn't been amended, right? To recommend the PNB consult with a non-profit service firm to provide analysis, guidance, and direction in implementing the structural governance management and other improvements that will establish a more effective, manageable, and workable organization.
No, that shouldn't be it, because that's the substance
that's
of a later motion. This was just an amendment related to the bylaws process.
No, not mine. Mine was not for the bylaws process.
No.
It was for the whole motion.
Oh.